Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we have with us in studio, Miss Wisconsin Rapids, Maria Hartley. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking, and thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Of course. My pleasure.
Terry, that crown is so cool.
It is pretty,
that
isn't
is a
it?
Really cool looking
yeah,
crowd right there.
It is awesome.
Maria is here to talk about an initiative that's hitting our community in a wonderful way, and we're looking forward to diving into that. But we haven't gotten to talk since you've been crowned, so I was really curious to ask how that's been going.
It's great. I mean, it's a little bit crazy since I'm still in school and I still have a job on the side, but it's been fantastic. I fit Miss Wisconsin Rapids anywhere I can, and it's been a lot of fun.
I appreciate hearing that, because I know that when we're that age, we've got so many other things going on. Taking on something like this, it is a big deal, and it is a responsibility. I appreciate that you respect that, but also that you've been able to balance all of those things. I'm my age, and I'm having a hard time balancing. That's very impressive. I think that's really cool. Good on you for doing that.
Thank you.
Maria, let's talk a little bit about the making a change in the community. This initiative that you have started, where did this idea come from?
Well, it initially came from me and my family and my dad sitting down, just wondering what I can do more. I liked being in appearances, but I wanted to do something that would be an active challenge for students and children and adults alike. And so we came up with like a Penny Wars where we started, and then it sort of evolved into making a change because we wanted to get any sort of change, and then we really wanted to get into schools as well. So that's sort of where we came up with it.
Let's tell people what the initiative specifically is.
Yeah, so the initiative, it's really cool. So I have about 3,000 piggy banks going to elementary school kids in all the area schools here, so Rapids, Assumption, Emmanuel, all of them. And it's really exciting. They all get their own piggy bank to keep, so they get to keep it at the end of it, and for the month of May, they get to raise as much money as they can in this little piggy bank here, and at the end of it, all of the donations that we get, we'll collect, and we will bring them towards FOCUS, which is the Feeding Our Communities with United Services in the area.
We say good morning to Dale and our friends over there at FOCUS, amazing people.
Oh, amazing, yeah.
As a young kid, Rebel Without a Pause, my mother used to call me, and I'd get on these causes, and to this day, I still am just as passionate about them as I was when I was 7, 8 years old or whatever. And one of the first things that I cared about was homelessness and hunger in their country. And the idea that it was such a big deal in my neighborhood in South Chicago and everything. We get moved up here and you kind of think, well, that's not a problem in rural neighborhoods and things like that. And it is. It's a big issue. And it's something that Terry and the United Way put a lot of focus on. We have other nonprofits that do. That's amazing. And we could never have enough of that. But man, I am really enjoying your generation and the way you guys are taking the bull by the horns. You're not waiting for people to give you a space or to come up with this and say, hey, Maria, would you mind doing this promotion? You came up with this. This is your initiative. That's amazing. That's awesome. It's cool to hear where this started from. How has it been going? How has the community received this?
Great so far. It starts on Monday officially. So we've been going around on Tuesday and all of today. We're going around and dropping off the piggy banks and meeting with all the kids in the schools. But all the teachers and principals are really excited about this. And I know that the kids will be really excited about it, too.
Yeah. Have you gotten to talk to any kids about it yet? Have you gotten to do any of this?
Not in classrooms.
Okay.
That's later today. But I've got to see a few little kids when I go into like dropping off the piggy banks, and they're in the office and they're so excited. They look at the piggy banks and they're just, it's really cool to see their smiles.
Yeah. Especially at some ages where 5 cents is like $500,
yeah,
you know, that
exactly.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty cool to be able to do this. And this is certainly good just on the surface of what it does, but I love these kind of things and the layers to them. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this with children all the time, that it's never a bad time to learn finances and learn how the importance of a penny, the importance of a dollar, that sort of thing. There's a little of that in there. They are seeing so many people of their own age putting into their community, investing in their community, helping people that they don't even know. The idea at a young age of strangers helping strangers, mm-hmm. and learning that more and more, that lesson being taught. It's something that we don't put on schools necessarily or anything. That's more of a societal thing that you learn.
Yeah.
Here's a great opportunity to learn something like that for these kids.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about this initiative and this campaign is that not only are you learning the value of how to save money and how to put it in a piggy bank, but you're also getting that reward system of you're also helping other people with their finances. So it's like a double win of learning money. And what also helps with that is Focus also does financial literacy classes on top of being a food pantry and doing neighborhood table and things like that. So this is a really cool get together and connection.
When I know we talked about this when you were running for Miss Wisconsin Rapids. When now getting doing this and being a part of this process and everything, is this part of the reason why you wanted to do this? Was this something that was even on your radar when you were running for Miss Wisconsin Rapids and in the pageant and everything?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to do something that would impact the community a little bit more, but I definitely did not see like this big of a project coming through it. But yeah, I'm really excited to have this, and I like the big aspect of it and reaching all the schools.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's such a good idea. It's got to be really cool to see something like that. And it starts as this little seed in your brain, and mm-hmm. it grows into this beautiful, magnificent oak tree that turns into this and helps this community like that. I from your like, it's cool to me, to Terry and stuff. I can't imagine from your perspective, like they going from the beginning of the idea to be here right mm-hmm. now. And I got to say, these piggy banks are cool. Like they're cool little piggy banks. They're going to be able to use these even after they're done with them and stuff. Yeah. So that's something that's kind of fun. We can't do this without a lot of sponsors, a lot of people behind us. Can we give a shout out to the organizations that are helping with this? I have the list here too,
okay.
If you don't. No worries. Oh, you're good. You're good. See, she's
so
good at this.
We've got a lot of donors, which I'm really thankful for. The biggest one we have is Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. They donated the first 1,000 piggy banks, which was amazing of them. And then we also have others like Rooterware, Encourage gave us a grant, State Farm with Carrie Vanner, Quality Plus Printing, the Nakusa Lions Club, and Edward Jones, as well as the Grand Rapids Lion Club, Dave Farnborough and the realtors there, Coldwell Banker, Seward Realtor, the Investor's Choice with Scott Patrick, and Shelby the Pet Nanny as well.
Yeah. All great organizations, all great people. Boy, getting Quality Plus, that's a get. Nice job. Nice job.
Yeah.
No, I say it jokingly, of course, because we any excuse to shout out Phil and the gag over at Quality Plus, we're going to take that. All great local businesses, all great people, and a lot of familiar names. I say this all the time. These are businesses that you see all the time investing in their community, mm-hmm. putting into the community. Let us support them as well.
Yeah.
Maria, as we're letting you go, because we know we got other things to do today, what are some of those other things you're up to today?
Yeah, so today I'm going into a bunch of schools to drop off the rest of the piggy banks, as well as we're actually going into classrooms and seeing some kids. And then I think I have a couple other interviews as well today. And then I have to do some pictures and some social media stuff. And then I get to go back. Actually, later tonight I'm going to a scholarship banquet for my nice. For my college. So,
nice, yeah. Nice. So, you know, just a couple things.
Yeah. My days are never easy and slow anymore.
Yeah.
They're packed.
Yeah. All that being said, you wouldn't change a thing.
Oh,
would you?
Absolutely.
I could see it in your eyes. Yeah, yeah. And when it comes to that, as far as encouraging the next generation, the other kids to be Miss Wisconsin Rapids, to mm-hmm. be a part of these pageants, certainly would encourage them, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. This is the best opportunity you can get. Honestly, even helping on the sides or actually competing is just a wonderful opportunity, not only to learn soft skills when you're on that stage and performance skills, but also if you win, doing things like this that actually really impact the community and outside of the community. If you don't win, so
very well said. If people want to be a part of this initiative, if they want to be contribute to it or anything like that, is there ways they can do that, or anybody they can reach out to?
Of course, yep. So you can reach out to us if you have any questions. We're with anything on the Miss Wisconsin Rapids website. We'll have the info, and then as well as there will be buckets in high schools and middle schools as well for those students, and there will be buckets out in the community. We'll have two buckets, both at both IGAs. We'll have one in at the Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. And then we'll have a Chamber of Commerce bucket at the Chamber of Commerce. And then we'll also have one at Quality Plus Printing.
So. Right on. Very cool.
Gotta have to, you know.
Absolutely, yes. And please say hi to your family for us.
Of course, yes.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much for joining us and for having something like this in our community, putting back into our community like you're doing. We really appreciate it. You're going to have a great year, have a great run. We'll have to have you back real soon.
Yes, of course. Thank you. It's been my pleasure to be here.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James here with you, and a big shout out to Maria Hartley, Miss Wisconsin Rapids. That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
She is something.
She is great.
Yeah, she really is. That was great. Diving into some entertainment news now, and of course, we are the home for all local news, local sports, local information, and anything involving Dolly Parton. These are kind of the things that we are known for around here. Dolly Parton got a bunch of big names on her upcoming rock album, but made it kind of known that she really wanted this big fish, and it was Mick Jagger. Now, the big fish for her originally was Sir Paul McCartney, but he agreed immediately. He was like one of the first people to do it. He dived on board, wouldn't take a paycheck for it or anything, just wanted to work with Dolly Parton. Let's take a second there and think of a Beatle, somebody with that legacy, and he's like falling over himself to work with Dolly Parton.
That's awesome.
Tells you a lot right there about her respect in the industry.
And about his character.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to take the other angle on this with Mick Jagger, because Mick Jagger had a lot of opportunities to do this, but they just could never work it out. So one of the songs on the album is a cover, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. So that's the song she had in mind. She ended up getting Brandi Carlile and Pink to sing it with her, which is pretty cool. Those are both great artists mm-hmm. with great voices. I look forward to hearing all three of those voices together. That is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I don't know if the song will be good or not, but I'll listen to it at least once or twice just to hear those three voices harmonize together and everything. It's not clear why Mick couldn't do it. Actually, it is clear. He's kind of come out and said some things. But anyway, quote, this is from Dolly herself. I love Mick Jagger no matter what. I'll still be running after him all through all these years because I've always had a crush on him.
So he's scared.
That's what it is.
He's scared.
Well, because schedule.
Man up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Face it. Face your fears. Face Dolly. Dolly also announced a new pop-up store she's launching for the ACM Awards next month called Dolly All Access. It'll sell products she's involved with along with some exclusive merchandise. It'll be open in Frisco, Texas from May 9th to May 14th. I am looking forward to her and Garth hosting this. What a combo that is going to be. And if it's any good, and I mean, even if it's like 50% good, I want them hosting everything, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards. Like, I want Dolly and Garth hosting everything. Like, if it's any good, there's a chance.
They may turn you down.
Probably. Yeah, they have other things going on. I do miss the idea of the Bob Hope, though. You know, the guy that hosted everything.
Yeah.
Like, and was so good at it. Still to this day, I believe, I will die on this hill, Bob Hope is still the greatest MC of all time. I generally don't believe there's still anybody that is. There's a lot of good ones out there. Still not anybody as good as Bob Hope.
And it's kind of everything that we talked about all day today so far. You know, like appropriate, family-friendly humor, but at the same time,
a little edge to it.
Like, just that was not, but not trying to make his mark by doing something outlandish. Like, it was truly about the experience offered to those who were there, either there in person or watching. But it was. I don't know that it's selfless is the right word, but it wasn't about him.
Yes.
And now you get half of these people who host anything, and it's what reaction can I get? What will this mean for me tomorrow? They've lost the whole point.
Exactly. You're so right. Well done. Because I've studied Bob Hope as long as I've been alive almost, and I didn't get that from it. Like, that's a great perspective.
Yeah. I think these two will be like that also.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when you have people whose careers are established. They're not, hey, I'm here to promote this, or I'm here. Like, you'll find my stuff. I'm all right. Yeah. I have a feeling you'll be able to, if you're a Garth Brooks fan, you can find my work. I don't need to promote my, you know, my next tour or anything.
And if you don't love this, mm-mm. I don't care.
Exactly. John Krasinski, very famous from The Office and a couple of movies he's been behind lately. He's gotten behind the camera and been writing a lot of stuff. It's been really, it's been cool to see where his career has gone. It's just as interesting as like a Jordan Peele, who went from Key and Peele and doing comedy. Now he's the most sought after name in horror and suspense now. It's interesting to see the arc of these careers and stuff. John Krasinski having one of them. And he's working on a movie right now called If. It's about a young girl who starts seeing everyone's imaginary friends who have been left behind after their humans grow up. It's a great idea. I love it. It also reminds me of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
Oh,
it,
I've not ever, I don't know.
Oh, it was
that.
One of the greatest cartoons of all time. It was all about, like, when you turn a certain age, you grow up, you outgrow your best friend or your imaginary friend. But what happens to your imaginary friend? They go to a foster home. And at this foster home, and it's a kid's show. It's a kid's show. It's all full of all these crazy imaginary characters. It's one of the most creative shows I've ever seen in my life. I loved it. This is a little bit of a I hope they're not stealing from it necessarily,
right,
but
so
it does seem like a cool idea.
That kind of interests me.
It's an animated movie, and listen to this cast. Like, this is insane.
Animated.
Yeah.
Huh.
I would have liked to have seen it in real.
That's not what I was expecting.
But animated, Matt Damon, John Stewart, Krasinski and his wife, Emily Blunt, Maya Rudolph, Sam Rockwell, Christopher Maloney, Richard Jenkins, Awkwafina, Vince Vaughn, Ryan Reynolds, Louis Gossett Jr., Steve Carell, Bobby Moynihan. This is just the cast they have so far. Like, that's insane. John says, quote, "This cast is insane." I know for a fact that I will never get a better cast. And he's absolutely right. Like, it's just incredible. Like, this is the kind of cool thing about voice acting, is that you can get a cast like this, and not everybody's got to be there day one. You'd never be able to get everybody's schedule to work out like this. The scheduling conflict thing can be an excuse. It can also be very understandable. These are very, very, very busy
people. And if you look at that list of who they are, it's likely they're actually busy.
right. Not an excuse. That's pretty cool.
That is interesting.
I would have liked to have seen it more like live, you know, real.
Did you have an imaginary friend?
Yeah. I had an imaginary friend when they moved with me from Illinois to Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah. I never had a name for them because they never introduced themselves. They never gave me their name.
I'm not laughing. With you, at you.
A little bit, but at the same time,
one of my brothers, I won't out which one since I have more than one, but one of my brothers had an imaginary friend, and we still give him a hard time because his had a name. And you know, like one time he was probably in like junior high, and we took a blank picture frame and then put the name of the imaginary friend and hung it in his bedroom. Like we were That's relentlessly... Awesome. Ribbing him about this. I brought it up to him just like this week.
Oh, that's funny. That's a great... You got to love the jokes that just keep giving. Like it just keeps giving.
So maybe awesome. I'll buy him a movie ticket.
Yeah. That'd be a good idea. I was really bad at making friends. We moved around so much, 10 different addresses before I was 8, you know, a lot of that. Having an imaginary friend was one of those things that helps as a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Fair enough.
It just gets you by. I have an imagination that never runs out of ammunition. It's like a gun in an action movie. You never have to reload. At the same time, I have a very realistic brain. So I never thought that my imaginary friend was real or anything like that. And I think that kind of helped me with my creativity as I got older.
Oh, sure.
And stuff. So I think it did actually have some advantages to it.
You know, I'd like to connect with him to see if I could offer up the name of like my brother's imaginary friend so that'd
be
in the movie.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know, knowing him, he's one of those people. He listens to fans all the time. It may just actually might be worth throwing out there. A sequel to 2004's Dodgeball is in the works with Vince Vaughn set to return. There's no word if Ben Stiller or Christy Taylor or any of the original cast will be back. All that's known is it'll continue the story of Vaughn's character, Peter LaFleur, and his average Joe's gym.
You know, I'm not a fan of sequel movies.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, some of them work. Like Night at the Museum, I think those are all good.
Yeah,
but just in general, but you had to see this one coming.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, that movie's hilarious.
The only thing that's surprising to me is that it took this long.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
That's it. Because it was a fun movie. It was a very fun concept. It's one of those movies, too, where it still got, like, it turns. Like, it's still playing. People still laugh at it.
And you still... When you're flipping through, you actually leave it on
absolutely.
When you get there. Yeah,
absolutely. Certainly, certain scenes more than others.
Yes.
My favorite part is the Jason Bateman part at the end, where we're on ESPN Ocho here, and you know, Bateman's character is so good. Rip Torn just throwing wrenches at people.
I hate
good.
Dodgeball. Like literally the game of dodgeball. Yeah. I hate it.
That makes it even funnier to me that you like
it. And so
the
then I think the movie, I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I think that'll be pretty good. I did want to touch on this before we go to break. What's new in theaters this weekend? Just two movies, really big movies coming out in wide release.
I'm going to go to one.
Awesome. I'm trying to go.
I bet you know which one.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get my mom to go to it too.
I'm totally going.
So big George Foreman, rated PG-13.
Not to that one.
Yeah, this is a bio. That'd be hilarious though. That would be the ultimate flip on me if you didn't.
I should have said. Oh yeah, that's the one.
The biographical drama follows the life and boxing career of world heavyweight champion George Foreman and how he became the oldest heavyweight champion in boxing history at the age of 45. Chris Davis is playing George, and he's getting a lot of like notoriety for it. Like a lot of people have commended him for his performance. He was in Space Jam and Judas and the Black Messiah, which is an incredible movie. It also stars Forrest Whitaker and Lawrence Gilliard Jr., who are in it as well.
How much time in the movie do you think they spend on choice of baby names?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd love if they spent a good 20 minutes on every baby named George. But we have a little girl. Name her George. Like, it's just
what the heck?
I will say this. As somebody who has actually named their son after themselves because of tradition, I felt guilty as all day. Like, yesterday was his birthday, and I got plenty of things to be guilty for because I'm a parent. But one of them was naming him that and stuff. And forcing that on him? And I've talked to him a lot about this, and he wears it with honor. He came around this a lot earlier in life than I did because he's a lot smarter than me. But
I have no problem with that. Mm. But there should not be children.
There should not be
siblings in the same family that have the same name.
For the sheer confusion of it, if anything else, like just why? Why would you do
that? So what then? You color code them?
Yeah,
or you call right. or you call them by their middle name? I mean, like
you're George Blue, you're George Yellow,
I don't know. It's weird.
The big one being released in theaters today, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. It's based on Judy Blume's classic wonderful novel from 1970, Coming of Age, the same name. Margaret is a sixth grader who moves to the suburbs of New Jersey with her family. She must make new friends while navigating the beginning of puberty. It's a game changer for so many young people, especially young women.
You know, the book is awesome. Mm. I still love the book. That's why I'm a little bit leery about the movie, because kind of the movie
you
always
never
breaks
know.
It. But at the same
time,
it's been, I mean, it was from 1970. So there's been enough time in between.
And they certainly, like, from all the things that I've heard from people, they really do stay true to the book. They do a really good job of bringing the book to the screen. And they got some really nice actors in this. This girl, Abby, playing Margaret, just in the trailers, looks really good. And you might recognize her from Ant-Man. She played Paul Rudd's daughter, Casey. You got Rachel McAdams, who I think is one of the better actresses in the game today, top 20, top 30 at least. I think she's very good. And Rachel McAdams, if you notice in her career, very similar to Kathy Bates, who plays the grandmother, neither of them usually choose bad scripts. Like, they just have, you look at their IMDb page, and it's like, wow, movie after movie after movie, just, even if they weren't box office sensations, good movies, good scripts. So I find comfort in that, and I know how much these books meant to my mom, and to her, you know, not just her generation, but every generation after that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd love to take, her and I haven't gone to a movie in forever. Being honest with you guys, I don't have a big desire to see this movie, but I know how much my mother would love to see it, and I don't get a chance to do this kind of stuff very often.
And Mother's Day is like 17 days away.
You see where
Suck
I'm going.
Suck it up, brother.
Yes,
you better.
Yes, exactly.
That would be awesome.
Man, there is nobody in human history that needs the points more than me, all right? The dog is higher on the food chain than me. My fur brother Sam is higher up than I am.
And while we're at it, spring for popcorn and candy,
not one or the other. Thank you. I need all the. I'm writing this down. Okay. Yes. It does seem like one of those family movies.
I think it'll be fun.
There ain't a whole lot of these as much anymore. I know the Super Mario Brothers movie has been doing great numbers and everything. It's kind of cool to see some of these family movies coming back and reminding us again how open things are and we can go do these movies again.
And it would be very inappropriate for you to get into this movie and tell your mom you're going to the bathroom and then go sit in George Foreman. So
you know me way too darn well. I'm actually getting red faced
like
right now because
like you're gone for like 84 minutes.
Yeah. Hey mom, sorry about that. What did I miss?
Was in the bathroom.
She go through puberty yet? She's going, what's happening? What's going on? What's Kathy Bates doing?
Meanwhile, there's 17 Georges on the screen next door.
You gotta see this, Bob. He's up to George 5. He's up to. We will take a break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more. more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Hope you're having a great Friday out there. Terry and James here with you. Going to get into some fun stuff before they top out the hour. Got a Danny Wright story. Good stories of the day. I'm going to crash into you. Very original singer. I don't know a lot of people that sing like Dave Matthews. Whether you like it or not is to teach your own and stuff, but definitely a very original singer and songwriter. Interesting band, too. Like the original forming of they lost their violinist and stuff, and I don't know about it anymore, but I know those first couple of albums had some cool stuff on there. They were different.
I think so.
They were different, at least. Now, I'm such a sucker for a violin, so any band that has something like that, and it usually pulls me in. Speaking of music, got this one here. Wanted to go through with you, Terry. I thought it'd be kind of fun. And it's an interesting list. I have the top 10 country albums even non-country fans would like.
Oh.
You may know some of these, you may not. Sure. And not to put you on the spot with it or anything, but me not necessarily being your traditional country fan, I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to go through this and see, oh, James, you should definitely check this one. Because you've turned me on to a couple of bands and a couple of artists that I didn't know before you. I knew who they were, but I didn't, like Brad Paisley. Yeah. There's a couple songs you've sent me, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I dig this. I'm all right with it. So let's see how we do here with this. At number 10, Buenos Noches from a Lonely Room by Dwight Yoakam from 1988. The best song on there, according to this list again, is Streets of Bakersfield. Bakersfield.
Yes, for sure. But yeah. I love Dwight Yoakam.
I like his voice. So
I
you got
too.
Me right there. I'm already like, okay, I'll listen because I can handle his voice. I like his singing. So I really like Dwight Yoakam as an actor, too, though. So,
I just like him. Yeah, like, he's just, I don't know. Yeah. He's a cool guy, but Streets of Bakersfield, yes, definitely a very popular song, iconic song.
I actually do know this next one, these next two, actually.
Oh, whoa.
And there's another one I see on here I know, as I didn't look at this beforehand. Number 9, At the Rhythm by Emmylou Harris and the Nash Ramblers from 1992, the best song on there, Hard Times. I like Emmylou's voice. Mm-hmm. I like that band. And I don't think I really knew they were a country group when I first heard them.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you first, you know, brought up this, the concept of this list. I was like, I wonder how many are going to be crossover or poppy, but so far not. So far we've got old, you know, older time country. So that's cool.
This one may be a little more what you're talking about. Every Time You Say Goodbye from Alison Krauss and Union Station from 1992. Best song on there, Last Love Letter. Good luck trying to pick which the best song on there is, because they're all good.
I've told you this before, but seriously, I was at the Grand Ole Opry, and it was Charlie Daniels Band was supposed to be there, and they canceled. They said, you know what, they're so apologetic, because of course people would want to see them, right? Yeah. And they're so apologetic, and they brought out Alison Krauss instead. And I was like, oh, you know, like the stars have aligned, right?
Charlie Daniels who? Like, yeah. I honestly, I think one of my top 10 favorite voices of all time, Alison Krauss. I love her songwriting. I love her voice. And I've listened to pretty much every, I don't know if I've heard every song of hers, but every album she's had. Yeah. And again, when we talk about the arcs of people's careers, hers has been all over the place. Got, you know, done stuff with Robert Plant. She's won Oscars and stuff. And just an incredible career, incredible life. One heck of an artist. I don't know this next one, but I know the band, Fly by the Dixie Chicks from 1999. Best song, Cowboy Take Me Away.
Cowboy Take Me Away. Yeah. I was a big Chicks fan. I mean, I still am. But when they were, you know, really out there and having their first two, three albums, I was
They really were huge. And I'm such a sucker for harmonies. I would listen to that just to hear them and the harmonizing and stuff.
I actually got to see them once. Do you remember when Lilith Fair was a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so a friend of mine and I went down to Lilith Fair at the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee.
Cool.
And it was Dixie Chicks and like Melissa Etheridge. And it was a wide variety, all female artists. Sarah McLachlan, like I love her. But the Chicks, that was talk about some energy. That was a fabulous show.
I'm so used to going to these heavy concerts with rock music and or hip hop or anything like that. I'd love to see a stripped down concert. I don't know if I've ever gone to something like that. I'd like to see especially like a Sarah McLachlan or somebody like that.
It's
where
you
hear their voice live and it's even better than on an album and stuff. That's amazing to me. Let's see. Yeah. See, I definitely know this one. The Legend of Johnny Cash from 2005, best song on their Hurt. This is probably the, I can't believe this isn't number one, because this is one of those ones where you think you don't like country, listen to this. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, never mind. I do happen to like country. One of my favorite people, not just musicians, favorite people of all time is Johnny Cash. So yes, I know the Man in Black quite well. Number five, there's more where that came from Leanne Womack from 2005. The best song on there, Stubborn Psalm 151. I don't know much of her music, but I have a lot of respect for Leanne Womack.
Yeah, I like her too. I don't know that I know that song. I mean, maybe if I heard it, purposefully brought it up. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely know her in that album. But that song doesn't ring a bell to me.
Hmm. Number four, Modern Day Drifter from Dierks Bentley from 2005. I'm seeing a lot of stuff from 2005 from the early aughts.
And early, yeah.
Huh. So Long, they say, is the best one on that album.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's not to like about Dierks Bentley?
Yeah, okay. All right.
I don't know. I like it. For me, he's just a constant, long running. I'm trying to think early 2000, probably like 2000.
Mm.
Maybe 2001 was when he was really kind of getting some traction. And so, you kind of grow up with that music, right?
I heard about Dierks Bentley actually from one of the most oddest sources. One of my favorite hip hop artists brought him up. I don't know if it's common knowledge or not, but country music has its huge fan base, and it has a lot of the pockets of that fan base you would probably predict. I don't know how many people would predict that there is a huge love of country music in Southern African American families, that they grew up on a lot of this stuff. It's very similar to like NASCAR and stuff. It's Michael Jordan is a gigantic NASCAR fan. I think a lot of people use, whether it's stereotypes or it's just the way our brains kind of work societally, this person wouldn't like this kind of music, right? Or this person wouldn't be into this. I find that really interesting whenever that happens in life. I think it's kind of cool. And it's one of the things that shows how music connects us all, how we have so much in common. Wait a minute, you like Dierks Bentley too? Like, I would have never thought that. It's cool. It's kind of fun. It's very fun, I think. Number three, I love Miranda Lambert. Revolution by Miranda Lambert from 2009, best song, Only Prettier.
I was curious which song they were going to pull out for the best.
I don't pretend to know a ton about her musically, but I know a bit about her off the stage and everything. I know her voice. I know she writes the majority of her music, all things that I respect.
She is very talented. Mm. I also kind of like her sass. And she lets it come through in her music, and sometimes appropriate or not, but I just like it. It's
100% with
Spitfire.
Yeah, I think if you listen to me, if you pulled apart every female singer I like, that's probably the most common thing is that quality. No matter what genre they sing. Number two, Same Trailer, Different Park from Kacey Musgraves from 2013, the best song on there, Step Off. I would say that may be one of the best album titles I've ever heard. That's a great album title. I like that. Especially from a country. Come on, that's a great album title. I don't know much about her, though.
I like her. Yeah. And definitely still, still coming around, I think. Coming about. Mm. Very popular, has a lot of great work. To me, she's really authentic.
Yeah.
Like, she's just not in it. I mean, she might be, but I'm just saying my impression is, not really in it for the show, so to speak. But I she's very talented.
I almost said something that I was going to ask off air that I almost asked on air, and I'm really glad
something
I caught
for the break?
Myself.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on to number one on the list.
Let's go to number one.
The Outsiders by Eric Church from 2014, best song on their Broken Record. I dated a girl a while back that was really into Eric Church, and she turned me on to him, and I really like his voice.
So probably around the time of this album, so 2014, 2015, Eric Church was at Hodeg. It might have been 15, 16, but in that area, and it was this album was popular, but that might be one of the coolest shows that we ever saw there. Right. And I went there for 23 years. I mean, like,
that's impressive.
It was amazing.
I've heard nothing but good things about him as far as his stage show and all that and everything. Seems like one of those guys that's going to only get bigger, and he's pretty big right now and everything. But I mean, it just seems like his career is just going bigger and bigger and everything. And I don't even know if with an artist like him, I've heard really good stuff from him. I wonder if we've heard his best song yet. I don't know if he's necessarily peaked. I feel like he's still growing and everything. And I think that's a kind of cool thing to see. So many times in an artist's career, the first time we hear them is their first big hit, and that tends to be their biggest hit. Guys like him and some other artists that I can think of, I'm curious to see, wow, what could come up? Because they just have this pool of talent.
Or like there'll be an artist like that where all of a sudden they're really popular, right? Mm-hmm. I might like pull them up on Spotify or something and start, you know, just playing all their music.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, that's them? You know, that's from 10 years. Yeah. Like, really, that was them? So this whole, you know, best is yet to come. It's fair enough.
And that's going to do it for that list. But that was fun. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Jared. They were all good.
We're going to come back with a That Ain't Right story, some local good stories of the day. We'll see if we have time for some world good stories of the day. But we've got a lot of local good stuff we want to get to for this weekend coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour and wrap up the show, get you ready for your weekend. Good stuff coming up for you right now at That Ain't Right story. And this one hits home for me, Terry. I recently had a bit of a health scare with a kidney stone and was doing everything under the sun to try to get that thing out of my body. It was nuts. I have never dealt with anything like that before. I've had kidney stones, not like this one. It was pretty tense. Well, if you've got small kidney stones and you want to pass them before they turn into big kidney stones, like ones that might require ER trips, trust me, just did it like not less than a month ago, here is what they are recommending. Roller coasters, specifically Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Disney.
Oh, I love that roller coaster.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. People have been talking about this as a cure, quote unquote cure for a while, and there are even studies that show that it can be effective.
Why?
So this week, a woman named Steph Fallon flew from New Jersey to Disney World specifically to ride the Thunder Mountain and pass her kidney stone. She even got a celebration button and had it say, "I'm celebrating passing a kidney stone." If you've ever passed a kidney stone, you completely understand where she's coming from. She said she rode it twice and sat in the back row because that's reportedly the best spot for stone passing.
Where you get jerked around the most?
I guess. Then she went back to the airport and made it back to New Jersey by midnight. And it worked. The next morning, she woke up and passed the stone. She said she'd been in pain for a week leading up to the impromptu trip, and she would rate the experience by using Disney to pass the stone a 10 out of 10. So here's my That Ain't Right of this, though. Like, why is this not common knowledge? I could have used this less than a week ago.
You would not have flown to Disney.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Terry. I really don't.
They did say in there it was not for big ones.
Yes.
It was little ones.
Wouldn't have been able to help me anyway.
But.
And maybe there's a roller coaster here in Wisconsin.
I love that roller coaster.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever heard of that, the Big Thunder Mountain. Railroad.
Oh, it's been there forever.
You've
heard of Splash Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's right next to it. Although Splash Mountain is closed now, is gone or being redone.
Yeah.
But, that's interesting.
Very interesting.
Health benefits.
Now we got to try this. If I have another one, which to God, I hope I don't. But if I do, I'm definitely trying that. We wanted to touch on some local good stories of the day. Real quickly, as Terry brought up a little bit earlier, today is Arbor Day. And our own Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Blazer announced it in proclamation that this is a day that they hereby proclaim April 28th, 2023 to be Arbor Day in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. So shout out to Mayor Blazer, his staff, his team in doing this. Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and world, and trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs. Trees are amazing. Trees are awesome. And all they ask of us is to just let them be. That's it. We don't have to do a whole lot. You didn't got to do a lot bunch of different things. They're just so self-reliant. They are so amazing. I love that we are learning more and more about trees all the time. There's a couple documentaries I've watched recently about the way trees communicate with each other through their root system. I think that's pretty cool. They are discovering now trees from this part of the world can communicate with trees in California. Like, think about
that. Isn't that weird?
It's incredible. It's amazing. Like, they communicate. Like, we have the science to back this up now and everything. We've, for a long time in pop culture and you know, the creative arts and all this, used trees for this or that or what have you. You can go back to the ants and Lord of the Rings and all that and stuff. But now we know. They really do talk. They really are communicating. I would imagine a lot of boring conversation. I'm not trying to be mean here, but it's not like they travel a lot. It's not like they do a whole.
So you don't get the visual of like the trees in the Wizard of Oz where they're chucking their apples at people. Yeah, I mean, you know,
that'd be kind of funny. We have a couple of specific things I want to touch on with the United Way before we wrap up. The book drive, this is the final day for it.
Today is the last day. We are collecting new and gently used children's books, basically baby board books all the way up through elementary age. And these are to be used at our Great Book Giveaway events in June.
I encourage people to not only donate those books, but sign up for the Great Book Giveaway. It's a great way to put back into your community to contribute, and you're going to have a lot of fun. Trust me, you're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And we encourage people to register for Stuff the Desk. It begins tomorrow.
No, not till May 1st.
May 1st.
Yep. So Monday, May 1st. Yeah.
I actually thought tomorrow was May 1st.
Well, I mean, if you try to register tomorrow, it'll just say come back on the 1st. But 8 a.m. Monday, May 1st, we will start taking registrations for Stuff the Desk. This is an opportunity if you have a financial need, qualify for free and reduced lunch, you can sign up to receive free school supplies supported by the community for your children to, start the school year off on the right foot. So starting May 1st, you can sign up, and it is first come, first serve for the time slots. So that's, you know, what the time sensitivity, I guess, is or isn't. Some people don't care. They say, I can come anytime. Some people, you know, with their schedule, it only works to come in the morning or whatever. Yeah. So you can pick your time slot. And again, that starts on Monday, May 1st. And the other things that we have going on, today is the last day of our calendar raffle. So one more winner to be announced. Very exciting. And we thank everyone who might have purchased a calendar raffle ticket for the month of April. Very much appreciated. And those dollars went toward our annual campaign and to support that. And the other thing coming up, you know, is our United We Can food sculpture contest that happens on Thursday, June 15th. The sculptures will be on display at the Rafter Game. So if you are not part of a sculpture team or you don't want to do that, we encourage you to get a game ticket for that day. Bring non-perishable food items as a donation to our event. And, you know, really that event is about building awareness around hunger in the community and helping people who just come to the game understand that there are hunger issues in our area. And then the bonus is all the food that gets leveraged from these sculptures and from game attendees. Typically between 9,000 and 10,000 pounds of food is leveraged that day.
It's incredible. Just incredible. Be a part of these events. Find out more about them by going to uwswac.org. And be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. The Lincoln High School Theater and Music Department are presenting the SpongeBob musical. Tonight is their second night of this. They are going to have performances on Saturday as well, and then a matinee on Sunday at 2. The performances today and tomorrow are at 7:30. Tickets are just $15. You can get them at the show or go to ShowTix4U and make sure to do that. Get them, get it out of the way, and support the arts, support local, support these kids.
So I'm going to jump on that one, another good story that stems from this as well. Last night was, it's called Dinner in Blanc. So it was put on by the French class and the French club at Lincoln High School, but they honored all foreign language students, all seniors who have taken 4 or 5 years of foreign language, which our daughter is one of those. So we were there for the dinner, a lot of great authentic foods, but there were also a lot of kids from that were performing in SpongeBob at the dinner because it was at Lincoln High School. And while we had a soccer game, I didn't get to the performance, but got to see a lot of the costumes and stuff. And boy, it looked really awesome. So hopefully they had a great first night and get on out and support our high schoolers.
Yeah. Just a quick programming note. This weekend, of course, our original content on the weekends is so strong. You know, the Sunshine Poker Show kicks off at 7 on Saturdays. Be sure to check it out. Tim Hubble does an amazing job with that. Over the Back Fence from 11 the noon, join my man Seth for that. Bring him your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, garage sales. Let Seth know. Call up 424-2600 from 11 to noon. Join us for Over the Back Fence. Seth's show this week, Seth Faces the Music, going to be a repeat from, be sure to catch it from 6 to 8. This week, our Director's Cut episode, it's a two-parter, and it's important. It's fun. It's awesome. It's the Lizards. It's the Legends, the Lizards. We went to their studio to record what felt like an album. It felt like physical graffiti. And not in a bad way, just we were there for a long doing this and everything. I cannot thank the guys enough for having us, for hosting us. It was a humbling, honoring experience for us. It was healing. It was fun. We're going to play a bunch of their music along with like breaking this up. The first episode is going to be focused on the band and the 30 plus years that they've been rocking this area, some of the band changes, and focusing really on the guys as individuals a little bit. They've got a new band member, Ben Shintek, who is, of course, locally known here by a ton of other bands, let alone on this station, joining us many times. So this is the first time you're going to get to hear Ben with them in our director's cut, which is pretty cool. But then in the second episode of Director's Cut, we wanted to put the focus on the last two albums that they had and the connection they do. They lost a band member, Jeff Goss. Our community lost a community member in Jeff, a great guitar player, great human being, just a good guy who, very similar to Ben, would bend over backwards to help out local musicians and that. Biggest Todd Rundgren fan you'd ever meet. Like, I miss Jeff almost every day. And we got to talk a little bit about him. We are going to have a special episode that we just focus on Jeff, but we definitely had to touch on it with the subject matter and everything and part of the album talk. So these guys were nice enough to do a two-parter, even though I brought it up literally like a minute before I walked into the studio and everybody played along. I cannot thank them enough. A big thank you to the band and to all the greatest listeners and radio, you guys out there, for joining us all week long. Thanks to Maria Hartley for joining us. That was fun. We appreciate Maria being here with us. And Terry, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back here with more morning show here at WFHR coming up after the weekend. This is WFHR, locally grown radio.